What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yep, what up, my people? We back. Hey, honey, I was gonna tell you this right before the podcast, but I wanted to tell it to you on camera. So you know how much I've been talking about, like what we talked about this morning about it's not really that people don't have enough evidence.
Yeah,
is that people just don't want to surrender.
Yeah.
So I had an interaction with this person this morning. Mm-hmm. Over a comment section, because he was coming at it. Like, he was like, "I can't believe you would believe in something that's so narcissistic," and this and this. Just a bunch of, like, the buzzwords.
Okay.
Homophobic, yeah. Narcissistic, gay-phobic, whatever the, you know, whatever people use that just hate okay. Jesus,
yeah.
Right? And so the question I asked him was, okay, well, if Christianity were true, then would you believe in it? Honey, check out his response. He said, "Why would I believe in something that is narcissistic, blah, 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 blah? So to answer your question, no, I wouldn't believe in it." And so my response was, okay, well then you're not on a search for truth. You're just a hateful person.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you like trash someone's belief
yeah.
when you're not even on the search for truth? Because yeah. what probably happened was he got fed a false gospel. Maybe something happened to him when
he's just so in the world
yeah.
that uh-huh. everything sounds evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, that does not sound good.
Yeah.
Like, that's, if you were to ask me, if the color white was actually white, would you believe in it? No, I just believe it's black.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You got to have a little bit more than that. Anyway, it was just a different interaction because usually, well, if it were true, then yeah, I would believe in it.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've actually, because if y'all get a lot of interactions with people who don't believe or maybe of the other faith, here's where you go to if you just want to ask them the question is, well, if it were true, then would you believe in it?
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the time, they say yes. If they say yes, make sure you have a couple books that you would recommend them. Michelle and I always recommend More Than a Carpenter because
mm-hmm.
usually the people asking these questions, they want archaeological evidence and also, is the Bible reliable? More Than a Carpenter explains that. And then if they say no, well, then there's another issue at hand that you definitely can't resolve.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, yeah, so we're going to talk about stuff.
Okay.
We're going to talk about some fun stuff today.
Yeah.
Michelle and I were kind of, this morning, yesterday, we were like, I don't know what we're going to talk about this week. And then I was scrolling through some polls and questions that I put up. And a good question I came across was, how do you stay on fire for God? Question mark. It feels like my days are the same every single day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to start with this, honey?
First, I feel like it would be helpful if we gave some context as to why we wanted to talk about this and how we relate to it.
Okay, that sounds great.
Or like what we've experienced.
Okay. So I think people define like being on fire for God uh-huh. a lot of different ways. Uh-huh. I saw this one article where they're like, you always want to be on fire for God because if you're not, then you're lukewarm.
Yeah.
I actually completely disagree with that.
Mm.
Just because you're not on fire for God doesn't make you lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
You've just hit a point in your life where you're just maybe not as curious as you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're not on fire doesn't make you lukewarm.
Yeah.
So I also read that article this morning and I'm like, oh, wow. So I 100% disagree with you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because some people, there are probably people listening to this right now, they disagree with me on that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that if you're not on fire, you're not lukewarm, you're just not as curious, or maybe not doing things the way you used to, is because lukewarmness is basically saying that you're living in the world and you're also trying to live in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Not being on fire for God doesn't mean that you're living in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not being on fire for God simply means, like, I was, like, very into his word. I was really doing this. It doesn't mean that you've conformed to the world. It's just that you may have stopped growing your relationship for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we can even relate this back to, like, our marriage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're pregnant.
Yeah.
What was the start of our marriage? The first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
On fire.
Yeah.
Going on a lot of dates.
Yeah.
Really lovey-dovey. And now Michelle's not feeling well.
Yeah.
And
almost all the time.
Yeah. And it's like, well, it's not that our relationship is going downhill.
And it's just not that I don't love you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just not on as fire as it used to be.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And you know what's interesting is the person that said that, it kind of sounds like to me that they're comparing their walk with Jesus with other people.
Yes.
And that is just so not fair.
Yeah.
I remember I went to a worship nights back in Ohio. There was like this cafe that had like worship nights, and it was really cool. Me and my best friend Kaylee went to it all the time. And I remember being there, and there was this girl who was like in another room, like in the entrance, away from everyone else. Like, we were all standing in front of the band, singing, worshiping, and this girl was off in the side room, but I could see her. And she was like, she had a pad of paper and a pen and her Bible, and she would get up and she would start dancing. She was dancing to the songs. And then she got on her knees and was like rocking back and forth and was like praying to God. Mm. And then she would start journaling. And I remember in that moment looking over and being like, dang, that girl is very spiritual. Like,
yeah.
How cool would that be? And then in that instant, the Holy Spirit checked me and was like, why are you comparing your walk with me with her?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times people do that. And that's why I hesitate to share a lot of things about my specific walk with God. Like, girls will ask me, like, how do you journal? How do you do this? How do you spend time with him every morning? And it's like, well, I can share these things with you, but I don't want you to do them because I'm doing
them. Exactly.
I want you to do them because you feel like you need to, you know? And that's your personal walk with the Lord. Everyone has their different thing. Some girls don't want to journal. Some girls want to just sit in prayer. I like praying in my journal. Mm-hmm. Like, it helps me formulate my thoughts better than just rambling a prayer in my head, you know?
Yep.
So everyone's different, but
that's a great point, honey. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like that person's doing
mm-hmm.
is you're comparing someone that's not on fire as lukewarm. You're saying that they're lukewarm because their walk with Jesus doesn't look the same as yours.
Yeah.
You know, and we can even look at stories in the Bible or the way that the disciples were and stuff. And it's like all of their walks weren't the exact same.
Yeah.
They all loved the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I was just about to say.
Yeah.
That.
Go ahead.
Well, you hit it exactly. Cause I was going to say, y'all are going to take this out of context.
Yeah.
So I went to explain.
Yeah.
But everyone's walk with Jesus is different.
Mm-hmm.
But we just follow the same person.
Yeah.
All of the disciples that followed Jesus, their walk was different.
Yeah.
All right. All the apostles, I mean, Paul didn't even follow Jesus until Jesus died.
Yeah.
You know, yet Paul, we've had this conversation before, yet Paul was the closest to Jesus compared to all the other disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his walk was different from Peter's.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's walk was different from Andrew. Mm-hmm. We just talked about this in John chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
They all came to Jesus. Philip came to Jesus differently the way Andrew did, and also differently the way Peter came to Jesus.
Yeah.
Andrew came to Jesus because John the Baptist was preaching.
Yeah.
Peter came to Jesus because Andrew told Peter, his brother, yo, let's go check out this Jesus guy.
Yeah.
Philip came to Jesus because Jesus said, follow me.
Yeah.
All of our walks are different.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be comparing your walk to someone else.
Yep.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And it's the same thing that we talked about with our counselor, right? Brock, he said, John, our pastor at our church, loves music. He mm-hmm. loves worship. And mm-hmm. every time they come in as a group, as a like staff to pray together, he wants worship music on. Mm-hmm. And Brock's like, bro, how do you do that? Yeah. Like, I can't listen to that.
Yeah.
It's not that he doesn't, it's not that he hates worship. It's just his walk with God looks a little bit different. Uh-huh. You know, worship might not be one of those things that like really moves him.
Uh-huh.
And it's different for everybody.
Uh-huh. Here's another example. When it, I don't know why we're on this tangent of, you know, comparing your walk with others, but I think it's really important.
No, but I think it's important.
Yeah.
Along with the topic of this, because I think a lot of people will say, well, I'm just in a rut and I don't feel like I'm on fire for God. Okay. Where's that coming from? Why do you feel like you're not on fire for God? Well, it's because you're comparing yourself to other people.
Yeah.
It's the same way with success.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm successful. Okay. Why do you think that? Well, because this girl's doing this and this girl's doing this and this guy's doing this. And it's like, okay, that's comparison. Yeah. That's not you not being successful. That's you comparing your success with someone else's, and it may look totally different.
Yeah.
You know, success for me is having a baby and growing a family. Success for another woman might be being the senior vice president of marketing for a large corporation. Totally different.
Yeah.
Success looks totally different, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, there are some people in our church who raise their hands whenever we're worshiping. And Michelle and I usually don't.
Yeah.
There will be occasions where I do, and you can't look at the person to your left who's raising their hands like this and being like, oh, dang, that person's more righteous than me.
Yeah.
No, your surrender is different.
Yeah.
Our Michelle and I's surrender when we're worshiping is usually us crying.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest.
Yeah, we cry almost every worship session at church.
Yeah. And
at least get a little teary-eyed.
Yeah, and other people, their worship may be very happy. I'm going to hold my hand high. And the unfortunately, a lot of churches do this, is they say, put your hands up in a way of your surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I don't know if I like that personally. If I owned a church, I wouldn't say that.
Our church has never said that.
Our church has never said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, at the men's conference, they did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And yeah, it was funny because Kirk doesn't, I'm pretty sure Matt raised his hand and Maddie do, but Kirk and I looked at each other. It was just really funny because we looked at each other, and then it was just really funny because I think Kirk and I connect on that moment. We were like, well, our surrender's different.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like it almost feels forced. This is just my personal opinion, but like, it also distracts me from actually paying attention to what the song is about.
Yeah.
I like to really listen to the lyrics and like soak them in and it just like touches me in a different way.
Honey,
if I put my hands up and I'm dancing around, I'm not paying attention to that.
Yeah. Honey, because John sits like a little bit next to us, our pastor. Uh-huh. He doesn't raise his hands.
No, he doesn't. He wobbles back and forth.
And that's what we do. Yeah. He wobbles back and forth and sings, but it's
and
like
steps forward sometimes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I don't know. For me to raise my hands, because then I get caught on my arm getting
that's
tired,
what I'm saying. Like, or like, I focus on something else.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, are people judging me?
Yeah. 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 And then it's like, oh crap. Well, I don't want to put my hand down because I want to be surrendered, but my arm's tired. It's like, I should feel bad about that, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone's worship is different.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's how we're going to start off this thing.
Yeah.
That was just another example I wanted to include.
That was really, really good.
Yeah.
I think if you think that you're not on fire for the Lord, the first step would be to figure out why you feel that way.
Yeah.
Is it because you're comparing yourself, or is it because you're going through a season where you're like, well, at the beginning of my walk, I was like this, or during this season, I was really on fire, and now I just feel like I'm not. And I do want to say something, because we talked about this with someone else. I don't remember who it was. But at the beginning of your walk with the Lord, it's natural to be on fire and to be so curious and to just like, that's how I was. I was just like, immediately, my sanctification process was kind of slow, but at the beginning, I was like, this is so cool. Like, I'm actually understanding the Bible. I love the Lord. I was listening to worship music all the time. And I was just on fire. And then, like, I would go through a season where it wouldn't be that way. And it's like, wait, is he still in me? Like, do I still have the Holy Spirit? Am I still saved? Like, what's going on? Why am I not, like, as on fire? And it was because I went through that phase and then I was just in a rut, you know, like that girl said, or whoever it was.
My days are stagnant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get it. I am a creature of habit, so I do it to myself, but like I'll get into a routine where I just do the same thing every day. And it's like, okay, yeah. Where's the excitement?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So there's two avenues that we're going to go down. The first avenue is comparison. We just talked about that. But the second avenue is really the bigger avenue that we want to tackle, mm-hmm. because I think you comparing yourself to other people's walks, I don't find it very likely. Mm-hmm. I know it can happen to some people, but mm-hmm. the second way, like we said, is most of the time when you don't feel on fire for God is that you're stagnant in your relationship with God.
Yeah.
So you need to pinpoint in the ways that you are stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And what it really boils down to is application and curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So application as in, are you applying the things you've learned in the Bible? Because everyone can learn the Bible and treat it as rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But until you apply it and until you let really the Holy Spirit just transform you into the person that you want to be, then yeah, you're always going to be stagnant because you haven't killed your flesh.
Yeah.
And the second part is curiosity. Like Michelle stated, when you first learn about Jesus, you have a lot of hope inside your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go down this rabbit hole of, dang, this is really cool. I'm understanding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be the first to say it. For starters, for one, you will never, ever be able to comprehend the whole entire Bible to a T. You can always learn more. And two, I would say that whenever you do get to a point in your like walk where you read a book
mm-hmm.
and you're like, okay, I understand this now. What I have been doing personally is not only studying the word, but you also meditate on it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. This is something that we're really not taught in the church at all, is meditating on the word. We're taught to do our first 20,
mm-hmm.
give the Lord your first 20, which is great. Like, you know, I don't discount that at all. 5 minutes in the word, 5 minutes in worship, 5 minutes of thanks, and 5 minutes in prayer, I think it is. And it feels like a lot of American churches teach that, which is fantastic. I think that's a great way. But this is what I will say, is if you are only giving the Lord 20 minutes of your time a day, yeah, you're going to feel stagnant very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, could you imagine our relationship progressing if we spent 20 minutes with each other?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's put it, because we're talking in spiritual terms,
mm-hmm.
okay? We're talking in supernatural terms about us connecting with the supernatural. Let's put it in physical terms.
Mm-hmm.
You have a boyfriend. You have a husband. Maybe you're a guy. You have a girlfriend. You have a wife. How would your relationship look like after 2 years if you spent 20 minutes with them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you and I would learn about each other, if anything at all, because I don't know if anyone else's relationships are like this, but 20 minutes for Michelle and I is the icebreaker of our day just getting started when mm-hmm. we connect about how our day went,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Shoot, we spend 20 minutes just laying in bed talking.
Yeah.
in the morning.
Yeah. So that's what I will say. Again, I'm not going to discount, give the Lord your first, some churches say first 10 minutes, some churches say first 30 minutes, but I would say that's a great routine, first 20 minutes, mm-hmm. but if you truly do want to grow your relationship with God, 20 minutes isn't going to cut it.
Yeah.
And this is something that y'all can disagree with me on. That's okay. The times in my walk where I have given God 10 to 20 minutes a day of my time are the times I felt the most stagnant.
Yeah.
And the times that I give God any more than that, I'm talking 10 more, I'm talking 30 minutes instead of 20 minutes. Or recently, it's been a lot more. I am doing like a big series on my YouTube channel right now, so it's called for a lot more. But I would say I'm on fire for God right now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, one, I'm reading the Bible in a time frame of me not finishing it. That's the first part. I don't put a time frame on, I'm going to read 2 chapters a day. Because that's, remember, honey, a couple months ago, that's how I used to be. I need mm-hmm. to read 2 chapters a day. Now it's, I'm going to read this. Sometimes, I'm not even kidding you guys, I will read 4 verses And I will be stuck on those four verses for an hour and a half long, because that's how in-depth the Bible is. So that's the first thing I would say, is if you're reading the Bible, don't read it in a way of you wanting to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to gain anything from that. Imagine if you and I came into a conversation. All right, let's set a stopwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And at 10 minutes, we're up. Mm-hmm. This ain't a therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
This is for us to grow. Okay. Again, not discounting therapy. I don't want people to throw this out of context. So that's for starters. And then for two, I would say to study it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, those four verses I just talked about took me an hour and a half. I didn't read the four verses over and over and over and over for an hour and a half. That's not what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is, I'll give you an example. This is a great example from last night. So Michelle and I have a Bible study that we go to every Tuesday. I wish I would have added more to what this verse like meant to me. Where is Hebrews, bro? So this is what I mean by in-depth. This is just one verse, an example of what I mean by how in-depth you can actually go. So this is from the book of Hebrews. This is Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. A lot of things you can take in depth to this. One, what is Hebrews about? Why the heck is this book written? That's the first thing. That'll take you 30 minutes to comprehend. Number two, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. What is a high priest? What's the significance of a high priest used in this context?
Mm-hmm.
You searching that, you're going to be in the Old Testament in Genesis and Exodus for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Okay? Next, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. But we have one who has been tempted in every single way. This is about Jesus being tempted. You can literally be stuck on Jesus being tempted in the Gospels for I don't know how long. You mm-hmm. could get lost.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then the last part, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So Jesus relates to us because he was tempted, yet he's so perfect, he didn't sin. That right there, you can find in all of the Gospels and just relate it back to there. That one verse, you could pickpocket it for 4.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by in-depth and actually going in and not reading just to finish something.
Mm-hmm.
You need to actually get curious about what you're reading. Because at the table last night, the lady was, I've never heard Jesus be used as a high priest before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, most people haven't. And that's why it's up to us to be like, well, why is he known as
mm-hmm.
the high priest?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you're going to get to know about what the high priest is, what the tabernacle is, what Jewish traditions are, like all Old Testament stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's going to do is when you understand that, it's going to give you a whole nother set of revelations for the New Testament in general, because they both go hand in hand. So that's number two, is just being curious and not putting a time frame on it. Wait, did I say meditation already? Or no, that was meditation. Yeah, meditate on the scriptures.
Oh, you said study, but yeah.
Yeah, study, meditate, whatever. And then another one I would say is, and also this is stuff that I've been doing that's just helped me, is another one I would say is after I get done studying it and then doing my in-depth, you know, what does this mean, what does this mean, whatever, then I sit and just wait and listen. Because usually when you do this, when you give God time to speak, that's when he's going to tell you stuff that you wouldn't have picked up.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all listen to my YouTube videos or you listen to my channels on my Instagram, what I've been saying a lot recently is, here is the principle. I don't get that from me. I get that because I meditate on his word and then God gives me, hey, this is what's taught here.
Yeah.
That doesn't come from, you know, the red letter saying this is the principle here. No, yeah. This comes from the Holy Spirit revealing stuff to me.
Yeah.
That's what I would say, three big tips about the word. And again, on the first 20, great. Love that people do that. However, when you do so, it's going to be hard for you to hear from God too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, honey, but for me personally, if I had a time limit on, I guess, knowing when to hear from God, like I need to hear from God in 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I would be pretty stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know about you guys, but God definitely does not speak to me every day.
He's also not inside of time.
So. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. The whole, oh, I'm just going to allow him to speak to me for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even make sense to God.
Yeah.
God's incapable of time. He's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to him. He'll speak to you at 4 a.m. It's the same time for him always because he's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, honey. Your turn.
That was really good. Thanks,
Spit it, honey.
Thanks for sharing. Again, these are just tips. We're not saying, like, go do this, but obviously, like, use your judgment and your personal relationship with the Lord to figure out what best suits you. But those are all really good. I also don't like it when people try to, like, set a routine with God because it almost seems legalistic in a way where it's like,
that's what happened to me, honey. When I was like, how I told you, I'm like, I'm going to stop reading the Bible right when I wake up because it feels like a chore.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to read the word when I feel, I guess, awake enough to read the word. I shouldn't feel guilty for me reading my Bible at 1 p.m. compared to 8 a.m. because everyone's different.
Yeah.
Me reading my Bible at 7 a.m., I'm not comprehending anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just wasting time at that point. Go ahead. Sorry, honey.
Well, and everyone's different because I do have a client that just this past week she set a schedule because she's so busy with work and working out that she still wants to make time for God. So I just gave her some tips. And so she set a schedule and she said she felt so much better.
Sure.
A lot of people can work that way.
Sure.
And I did that for a while where I like had a schedule and it like made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it got to the point where that's what it felt like. It was like a chore. And then I was like, I don't even feel like I'm actually desiring to do this. I just feel like I need to.
Exactly.
And I don't want to feel that way.
Exactly.
I want to desire it.
Exactly.
You know? So
that was my next point.
Yeah. So it shouldn't be something that's forced. We shouldn't be checking a box. None of that. It should be natural desire to do it.
Yeah.
What do you desire to do for the Lord? I pray that it's spend time in his word. I really do. Because it's so important. But like some people don't like worship music or music at all. And that's fine. But if you enjoy it, like times I have while I'm working, I'll turn on my computer and I'll just play Spotify worship music, you know, or there's so many ways to just, you know, fit him in somehow, like throughout the day, not just like that set time frame, like first thing or like in the evening, right? Yeah. Like listen to like the girl that is my client listens to a podcast on the way to work.
Yeah.
That's Christian based,
yeah.
right? And then she'll read her Bible while she's walking on the treadmill doing her cardio, or you know, it's anything, but not just setting like a certain time and then like going the rest of the day without even like thinking about him.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that goes on to my next point is to kind of go on your point is not just knowing about who Jesus is, but seeking who he is. And there's a big difference there. Everyone in the history of ever knows who Jesus is, but none of them have sought to find out who he is. The first question Jesus ever asked to his disciples was, what do you seek? That's what he asked. And it's because they asked, where are you going? That's a whole nother topic of discussion. But everyone knows who Jesus is, and everyone knows about his life, what he did, and whatnot. But it makes a lot more fun when you're actually seeking Jesus himself. You know, it becomes very stagnant when you read the Bible as a, I want to know who he is, instead of I'm trying to seek who he is. Does that make sense? Does that make a good, like, distinction between the two?
Yeah.
Because this can be used as a history book or a way of you completely changing your life. All right. Like historians still read the Bible as history. Because it's great for that. at least the old, well, actually the Old Testament, Acts, First and Second Corinthians a little bit, but yeah, you're going to be stagnant if you're not seeking after him. And I will be the first to say it, when I am just wanting to know him instead of seeking after him, that's when I know I'm stagnant. Like the last, not last month, but the month before that and 2 months prior, like 2 months leading up for our wedding, honey, I was extremely stagnant. The wedding was on the forefront of my mind. A lot of people were coming into town, you know, a lot of stuff we were planning, honeymoon stuff, just a bunch of stuff. I felt stagnant. And it was because I wasn't actually desiring to seek him. What I was doing was I was just reading it to try and know him. And that doesn't cut it. And that's what Michelle are getting at, to the point of like, if you set a time limit on it, it's going to be hard to seek after Jesus. Now, I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it. Michelle and I are not saying if you're only in the Word for 20 minutes, it's a bad thing. That's not what we're saying. That we are no better from anyone that is listening to this right now. That's not what we're saying. We're just giving y'all practical advice in our walk that has happened. When we set a time limit on stuff, then what happens is we usually feel stagnant. So another reason why people may not feel on fire for God and they feel stagnant is because they're not living a life of worship. So they're just living the life of worship just on Sundays. And before I got saved, a little bit after I got saved as well, I thought my worship was just on Sundays. Now, the question arises, well, what does worship look like? Well, worship is anything that glorifies God. That's worship. And it's very easy in the world to do things that aren't for a worship of God. I mean, if you are in traffic and someone cuts you off and you flip them off, well, that's not a worship of God. I'm sorry that happened to you. But, you know, that's not a worship of God. That's on the point I made earlier was exercising your faith. We can kind of go on along the lines of that as well. Because, again, the times I have felt stagnant are the times where I'm not exercising my faith enough. So I'll give another example of the golf course. So there will be times where I'm there and I'll hit a bad shot or something and I'll cuss. Well, that's not exercising my faith. You know, that's me conforming to what other people say when they hit bad shots in golf. You know, that's what people say who aren't believers at all. But we're called to be set apart. So what does that look like for me, right? And then when that happens, I cuss and then I fall short or whatever it may happen. Well, then you feel guilty. And then what happens after that? You feel stagnant. It feels like you can't grow anymore. If I were to upset you, if you were to tell me to do the dishes and I didn't do the dishes, then you're upset with me. I think the last thought in my head is going to be like, crap, we're progressing our relationship because of this. If anything, my first thought is, crap, I probably should have done that. I pray we don't get stagnant, you know? Does that make sense? Okay, go ahead, honey.
Oh, that was really good.
I'm at a loss of words. I'm at a loss of words. Like, I don't know what else to say on that point.
Yeah, I would say if you feel stagnant, just figure out like what in your life, like you gave an example, like what in your life is not glorifying God, right? So if...
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Maybe it's people that you're hanging out with. That's what it was for me. When I was stagnant in my relationship with the Lord, I was still hanging out with extremely worldly people. And it was just tearing me down. And pulling me back. And that's exactly why Paul says... It gives the example of a yoke, right? They weren't necessarily doing anything. They were living their lives the way that they wanted to, right? But it didn't align with what my beliefs were. So they were literally pulling me backwards. So if you find yourself feeling stuck, figure out like what in your life isn't glorifying the Lord. Is it the people that are around you? Is it what you're doing? Maybe there's something that you haven't given up to the Lord and like surrendered to him. It could be a multitude of things. And also, I do want to make this point because I feel like not a lot of people talk about this. If you're going through something in your life, it can be difficult to maintain that on fire relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, it truthfully can. And like, I can speak from experience with this whole pregnancy. It's been so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's there. I know he loves me.
Yeah.
You're telling me right now that we got pregnant on one try. I know for a fact that this baby is a gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
Whether that happened or not, I would still be. But what I'm saying is, like, I just have so much peace and faith that the Lord has this baby in my belly for a reason.
Yeah.
And that they're going to be born this early in our relationship for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, I was even talking to my friends about it when we went to brunch, and one of the girls said, God's timing is always perfect. Like, you might not know exactly why the baby's here right now when you guys thought you were going to wait a little bit, but she's like, there could be something that happens in that baby's life 10 years from now
exactly.
that would have never been able to happen if it wasn't born in that moment.
Yeah.
You know? So
you go all the way back to Abraham and Isaac. It took Abraham 100 years.
Yeah.
You know?
His timing's always perfect.
Yeah.
So even though it's overwhelming, it's a lot of emotions, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
I had a girl that I went to church with in Ohio. We still follow each other on social media, and she actually sent me a message, and she was like, no one talks about it. And she was like, it's really difficult, but like, just hang in there. Like, when the baby comes, it'll all be worth it. And I know it will be. But I didn't realize how hard my walk with the Lord was going to get.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that it's horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, I still have a walk with the Lord, right? He's still the most important person to me, you know? And I still spend time in my word. I still go on prayer walks. I still listen to worship music. I do all of these actions, right? But it just feels really lonely.
Yeah.
When you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's easy for, like, today you came in the bathroom and you just hugged me for like 10 minutes. It just like comforted me. And I told you, I was like, that's exactly what I needed. God can't come down and do that to me.
Yeah, unfortunately not.
You know, so at times it can feel like, where are you at? Like, mm-hmm. what's going on? Why is my relationship feel so stagnant? And it's just the season that I'm in right now. It's not necessarily that I'm doing something wrong. It's just that there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it, aside from pregnancy, it could also be like, maybe you're in a season where something's going on with your job, something's going on with your family, something's going on with your health.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a multitude of things. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you didn't lose faith. It's just that there's so many other things going on in your life that are trying to distract you and your emotions and all of that, that you're like, I don't feel like I have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
But like, he's still there and you still do. And it's just like one of those things where you adjust to where you're at for the moment, and then it'll get better, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point, honey. Because that, again, I'm a big believer on when someone is going through something, they don't want to hear you Bible thump them.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Well, why aren't you doing this? Or are you doing this? Or do you have a secret sin? And it's like, you know what? My life right now just isn't in a place where there's things to be excited about.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know? Like, sometimes it's just that.
Yeah. It's... So, I'll give you an example. Your wife cheated on you, bro. And she's going to leave you for this other guy. Your wife. You go to your best friend. They say, well, the Bible says count it all joy. Fam, if someone told me that, I would punch him in his mouth.
Yeah.
You know? Like, sometimes there's going to be stuff that happens in your life where, yeah, you're going to feel like God doesn't exist at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that is not talked about on any Christian mm-hmm. podcast to ever exist
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say your blessing's coming. You're going to be okay. Count it all joy. No, Faye, I'm going to be the first to tell you life kind of sucks sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay mm-hmm. to feel far from God,
mm-hmm.
all right? Michelle's feeling it right now, and it feels like that's why a lot of her emotions are all out of whack,
mm-hmm.
is because not only are things going through happening in her body, but she also feels far from God right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those seasons. You know, we can give you the 10 bullet points mm-hmm. and say, do this and this and this. Mm-hmm. You could do all 10 of those bullet points and still feel far from mm-hmm. God, because sometimes there's just too many things that happen in life at once. And here's the difference between us and God. God is God and we are not. That's the difference.
Yeah.
We have emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We have stuff. We have a conscience that happens. We interact completely different from how God interacts.
Mm-hmm.
So you should not be feeling sorry for yourself that you are not having the same, I guess, emotional control that God would have.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And what I see on the internet and what I see in scripture that people like to, for example, count it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
Fam, count it all joy. I can 100% guarantee you, Paul did not write that, because I'm pretty sure count it all joy, what's that, Philippians 2, I think?
I thought that was James.
Oh, is it James? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's James, correct. I don't think James meant when he was writing that. Yeah, when your wife cheats on you, you should count it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's what James meant, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, let's be honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't do any of us any good if we take a verse out of scripture when something bad is going in our life and say, well, scripture says this. Fam, you know what scripture also says? Just read the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
David was
all over the place.
Or we assume it's David. We say the Psalms writer, but the best evidence is David. He's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to relate to someone, read the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
All right? Don't take bits and pieces out of Philippians and James. Mm-hmm. All right? Another point I wanted to make, honey, was the point where you said about friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is all something I want to sympathize with people mm-hmm. about. So, yeah, okay. you gave your life to Jesus, and all of your other friends are not saved, but they still go to church.
Okay.
Okay? You know what friends are in your circle that go to church and are not saved, all right? Now, again, I'm not here to say that we're able to, you know, judge those who are not saved or whatever, but you can tell who is saved and who is not by their fruit. So if the friends are not bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, well, they're probably not saved,
mm-hmm.
okay? So with that, you've been friends with these people for a decade, and you're growing your relationship with God. However, you still want to hang on to these relationships, but you see they're not glorifying God.
Uh-huh.
So you're like, crap, what do I do?
Yeah.
Do I conform to hang out with these people more, or do I leave them in the dust and go my other way? Now, I'm going to sit here and say with you guys, I lost 100% of my college friends. I checked yesterday, honey. None of my roommates followed me.
Mm.
They all unfollowed me. And kind of hurt a little bit, not going to lie. Been through a lot with those guys. But
I also did.
Yeah. And it definitely hurts. When I got saved, I would talk to them every now and then, probably like once a month. And then when Michelle and I started dating, that's when we really stopped talking. And now they don't even follow me on social media anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts, dude. I mean, I went through a lot of stuff with these people. Like, we went to high school together. We hung out. Did a lot of illegal stuff together. One of my roommates I got arrested with. You know, we went through a lot together. So for us to not even, you know, talk to each other anymore, it stinks
because
mm-hmm. you're like, dang, I wish you almost wish that they could be on your side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you almost wish, like, why can't they be saved and just be a Christian as well? And you know, that's a thought that I have a lot. Why can't they just be saved, you know? But this is what I will say is, the times that I held on to contact with the people that aren't fully saved are the times that I felt stagnant with God. That's what
mm-hmm.
I will say.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, The reason being so is because if we are all born into a sinful world, okay, mm-hmm. that's one thing I wanna address right off the bat. Two, the whole point of being born again is to turn your life away from living in a sinful world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the second point I want to make. Third point I want to make is if you have not turned your life to Christ and turned it away from living in sin, then you're still living in sin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still hanging out with the people that are still living in sin, the presence of God will not be there.
Yeah.
The presence of God is not in the presence of sin.
Yeah.
Give you all an example. And to back up my point. So when Michelle and I, before we got married, we would get handsy, the Holy Spirit would convict us before we would get handsy. While the sin was present of us getting handsy and us doing stuff that only married couples should do, the presence of God was silent. The Holy mm-hmm. Spirit was silent.
Mm-hmm.
After it was done, the Holy Spirit still was not present. Or let me say it like this. The Holy Spirit was present. However, what was louder was the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the guilt comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So what I will say is if you hang out with these people that are still living in sin, the presence of God will not be there, and it's not that you are stagnant with God, it's just the enemy is louder than God.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to grow your relationship with God is for you to not hang out with those people.
Yeah.
And I know that's going to come off as like, oh my goodness, we've been boys for 34 years, and okay, I can flip it on you and say, do you not believe God's going to send you another best friend? Like, everything that you say, yeah, but what if, yeah, but what if? And it's like, well, you can flip that question around and say,
yep.
Okay, well, do you not believe that God's going to do this? And that's the whole point of the distinction between through faith and by faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are saved through faith. We're not saved by faith. By faith is trusting God. So by faith is you trusting what God's going to do in the future. Through faith is what Jesus and what God's word has done in the past. So do you trust God by faith that he is going to work out your future?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question you need to answer by dropping those friends. And I mean, I can't even tell, when Michelle and I, when I fully gave my life to Jesus, it was literally just Jesus and myself. And then when Michelle came in the picture, she was there too. And I'm very thankful for that season. But I will also not sit here and say, God will send you best friends to come knock on your front door. No, you need to search for them, fam.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Our friend group is a perfect example of that because
we tried hard.
The friends that I had in Ohio, my two friends here literally replaced them.
Yeah.
Like,
they did.
And I hang out with them just as much. Actually, I hang out with them more.
Probably more, yeah.
Because it feels good. Yeah. You know, I leave and I feel filled.
Yeah.
Like, I feel happy and it's not draining. The other girls, it was very draining.
Yeah.
Very, very draining. Yeah, that's a really good point. I also want to go on. Or were you done?
Yeah, I was done.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also want to go on and talk about, like, being in that season where you just feel like you're in a routine and everything is just like boring,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you're just doing the same thing all the time and you don't feel like you're on fire for the Lord. And you're like, how can I be grateful in these moments and like still focus on, you know, the little things. We talked about this in one of our Bible studies. I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the speaker was really just talking about focusing on the mundane and not just focusing on big blessings. Because yeah. I think a lot of times people will say, like, I need something big to happen in my life in yeah. order for me to feel like the Lord hears me and is close to me. And while, yeah, that happens, it's not something that happens that frequently. Right? Like,
it doesn't.
You were a yeah. huge blessing in my life. Aside from the answered prayer that made me give my life to Jesus, because obviously that one was life changing, the prayer that I wrote down in my journal, literally about you and then meeting you, huge answered prayer. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, that was a year ago. Because we started talking on June 3rd of last year.
Yeah.
And the next big blessing was being, well, obviously we got married.
Yeah.
That kind of
goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next big blessing was getting pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, and like, we didn't think it was going to happen that fast. It could have been a whole nother year after that until we would have gotten a big blessing, you know? And I feel like a lot of times people will pray for like big things to happen. Like maybe you're single and you're like, I just want a relationship. Or I just want someone that I can marry one day. It's like you pray for all of those things and you're so hyper focused on this huge prayer that you're totally discounting what God has already given you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Asher and I have tried to do this, especially more frequently. We've pretty much always done it, but more frequently or more recently, it's come up more frequent where we're praying for like in our prayer, we're literally just practicing gratitude and we're just giving thanks for the things that can sometimes go unnoticed, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah, it feels like recently we don't really pray for anything.
Yeah, it's just like, well, when we pray together at night, yeah, we just pray for like the baby and, you know, our relationship and things that might come up. I know for me, like separately, I pray for all my clients, but like all of those are separate prayers. But the ones that we pray together, it's just kind of like, thank you for all of these things. And we just like, we'll list them out and it's like, having a place to live, you know, there's so many people in other parts of the world that don't even have this, you know, and while, we're crammed in a one bedroom apartment, we have a place to live, mm-hmm. you know, and we have food on the table. Yeah. Inflation sucks, but we can go to the store and we can afford it.
Yeah. We can buy whatever we want.
Yeah. And so many people can't do that. I didn't used to be able to do that.
Yeah.
When I first moved out, I was literally buying ramen noodles and Lean Cuisines because I had no money.
Mm-hmm.
I was living paycheck to paycheck, you know, and now I can go to the store and buy higher end brands like the Siete stuff. That's more expensive than regular stuff, but I know it's going to feed my body well, you mm-hmm. know, so I'm going to spend extra money on it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many little things that people don't recognize. And I think that's just because we live in a world where it's like you focus on the big things.
Yeah.
Like you scroll on social media and people are talking about all these big things that are happening in their life.
Pregnancy,
right?
Marriage, cars, houses. And then we, again, on the comparison point, shoot. Well, they're getting their big blessing, so I must be stagnant with God.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, fam. To tell you the truth, that fast car, that big house, I'll tell you one thing right now. That may not have been a blessing from God.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Let me say one thing. The high-end stuff we see, that doesn't equate always to God giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what God also does? God also allows the devil to do stuff.
Yeah.
So that fast car, that big house, and I'm not saying every big house, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, don't say, dang, the Lord's really blessing him.
Yeah.
Fam, you have no idea what they may be going through.
Yeah.
They may have bought that house or that car because they wanted to impress some woman on the internet.
Yeah.
And you think God gave them that to impress that girl? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would say on that matter.
Yeah. Just pay attention to those things that go unnoticed, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I think reflection's really good too. Last night, I don't know what happened, but I was on like a talking spree.
Yeah, you were. I was over here putting and she would come in. Also this and then like 10 minutes and then I'd be like, that's great, honey.
I think I was like a little slap happy.
Yeah. And then I would put another ball and she would just come stand in front of me. Also this.
Yeah.
Just well, 45 minutes straight. I was trying to watch Suits and that got delayed a little bit. Yeah. Story time over here.
But last night was a perfect example of it because I was reflecting on my job.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes I take for granted how blessed I truly am with my full-time job because, and how it came about. Yeah. Like I told you the whole story, SparkNote version. I worked for a marketing agency and I was getting extremely underpaid for the work I was doing. I was literally at my desk all day long, 8 hours a day, not looking away from my computer. And I applied for this job because I wanted to move closer to my family. I was a little bit further out and seemed like a great fit. Didn't hear anything back for months after my interview. And all of a sudden, they called me, had another interview, and then after that, they offered me the job. And it was double what I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, they took a chance on me because your girl had just graduated college during COVID and I literally had one job for a year and that was it.
Yeah.
Well, like an actual job. I worked retail all the other and at a restaurant all the other times. But that was my first like big girl job. And so I took it, moved, and it has been such a huge blessing. 2.5 years later, I'm still with them. They were able to help me move to Texas and be with my husband and start our life here, but still be on their team. And my boss is amazing. Like, I'm just so blessed. But thinking about that last night, like, I've been so worried, just being vulnerable. I've been so worried about what life after pregnancy is going to look like, you know? And I'm like, what? How are we going to provide for the baby? Like right now I'm working two jobs technically. Like, I don't know if that's going to be able to happen with a newborn and like going on and on about all of these things. And last night was just so refreshing because I took a second to reflect on like, look at how far he's brought me. Look at how much he provided for me already. Why would he not do that when I'm taking care of one of his children?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it just helps a lot reflecting on like where you're. So if you're someone that's sitting right now thinking like, I want a relationship or I want a new job or all of these things, it's like, think back to like how he's blessed you already and give him thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are we so hyper-focused on the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, focus on where you're at right now and how huge of a blessing it is. Maybe you want a new job or a promotion. Great. Keep praying for it. But at the same time, don't discount where you're at.
Yeah.
You have a job. You know what I mean? People are having a hard time getting a job right now or even getting enough money to provide for their family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like focus on the thing, the mundane, you know, that go unnoticed because we're so focused on other things and praying for bigger things.
Yeah.
But I think that can help a lot too. You know, if you feel like you're in a rut and you feel like you're not on fire, what would help me? That's what helped me last night to be more on fire is it's like, wow, just thinking about like the ways that, oh, I forgot a part of the story. After I got that job, the marketing agency that I worked for literally went under and everyone got fired.
Yeah.
God literally was looking out for me.
Yeah.
But like looking back at that and that huge blessing, it's like, why am I so worried and like praying so much about the future when it's like, wait a second, look where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, look how far he's gotten us. And I do that with our relationship too, because especially with this pregnancy, I'm like moody and sad all the time. And I, at the beginning, it was really, really hard because I was grieving the loss of Michelle, you know, I was becoming a mom and a wife at the same time. And I didn't feel like I was myself anymore. And it took a toll on our relationship. And I just felt like we were like stuck for the first couple months. And lately it's been like, wait a second, look at where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like God brought us together. We got married. We are so incredibly in love with each other. We are best friends. We literally hang out all the time. We get along all the time. You know, it might be hard at times right now, but like we still find time to laugh. Well,
the only time we don't get along is when I stop reading or when I stop you from reading your book.
Okay.
that's when you get upset with
me. Now you have to explain.
Yeah, we were on the treadmill today and she was reading Harry Potter and she was like 2 pages from being done. I was like, okay, let's go. And she was like, I want to finish my chapter. And I was like, sorry.
Because I was like, Well, he didn't want to do that much cardio.
See, now, see, here's the thing. Now we laugh about it because we're best friends. She was pissed off.
I really was.
She wanted to rip my face off.
You know what's funny?
We and in the car, I was like, this woman is... She may kill me.
You know what's really funny? When we were walking out, there was a couple walking into the gym. And right when they passed us, you were like, are you upset with me? And I was like, well, I really wanted to finish my chapter because now I'm not going to remember what I was reading
about. Yeah.
And right when I said that they passed and I got flashbacks to like being in high school and like seeing really unhealthy relationships just like argue in front of you. Uh-huh. Not that we were arguing, but I was just like, I'm upset.
Yeah.
But it was a really good part of the book, and I didn't want to forget what I was reading about. It was about the troll.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the troll Dang. Chapter.
You should have told me that.
And it was right when
this
whatever
is... This is the first book, by the way, guys.
Yeah. It was right when the professor came in running in saying that there was a troll.
Yeah.
And then you were like, you got off the treadmill, and I looked over, and I said, are you done? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, okay. It's like, I was almost done. I just closed my book. I finished it before we filmed this podcast. Yeah. We're all good. But sometimes things come up. Yeah. See, what's funny is if I wasn't pregnant, I don't think I would have done that.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah,
no, not at all.
Asher and I literally, I don't think we had a single fight. And I wouldn't even call them fights, but we just have disagreements now. And I don't think we had a single one until I got pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, truthfully.
Yeah.
Like, we had some here and there, but they weren't heavy. It was, like, a simple, like, communication. Like, we were just communicating on something, you know? Yeah. But, like, the other day, we actually did have a serious discussion and kind of a heated argument on my part about the future. Because I was expressing my feelings about my worries and everything. And I... just being vulnerable, like I'm not going to hide things from anybody, but like I felt like he wasn't sympathizing with the way that I was feeling.
Yeah.
And so I got upset and I was like, I just want us to be like on the same level of like thinking about the future, you know? And it came off really bad. And it almost was like, I was literally saying, I don't trust him. Mm-hmm. And so he told me that and we had a good conversation about it. I apologized and you know, everything was all good, but that's never happened before. I'm not blaming it on pregnancy, but it does have, if you've ever been pregnant before, it does have a huge effect on your emotions and all of that. So, yeah.
Well, that's the episode. So hope you all enjoyed.
Hopefully, you guys gathered something from this. I would just leave you with not comparing your walk with Jesus to someone else's walk and focusing on the little things and just putting steps in your life that are practical that can help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. You know, even just being involved, that helped me early on in my walk. I felt a little stagnant and then I started going to young adults and started making friends that were like-minded that I can talk to them about things, you know,
mm-hmm.
and have really good discussions. They understood it. That also helped. So just putting those things into practice when you can,
mm-hmm.
but not making it a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next Wednesday on the tripod. Bye.